This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hard times continue, even for executives.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A few minutes ago, we learned the number of planned layoffs at American firms jumped in March, up 60% from February. According to the outplacement firm Challenger J. Gray and Christmas, a lot of the job losses are actually coming from the government, with the Postal Service planning big cuts. Another new survey out this month finds executive paychecks at the 200 biggest U.S. companies fell about 1% in 2009, and that's on top of a 3.5% drop in 2008. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live with that. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
So this executive hit, is this the recession effect?
It seems to be the case based on this analysis done for the Wall Street Journal. It's of salary, bonus, and stock options. This is the second year executive pay went down. Before that, it hadn't fallen for 20 years. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank in London, though, told me he thinks the long-term trend is still up because of the ego competition between top CEOs.
And the myth of the CEO as Superman means that, you know, nobody can be average. Everybody has to have a corporate jet. Everybody has to have a better golden parachute than the next guy.
Hilton says some of the worst abuses are being addressed by regulators and corporate boards, though, like having top executives serve on each other's compensation committees.
So give me some names, Mitchell. Whose wages fell or rose?
The top earner was Occidental Petroleum's Ray Irani. He got $52 million. Next, Disney's Robert Iger at $21 million. And at the bottom, Dish Network CEO Charles Ergen, whose pay fell more than 90% to just $623,000.
Scandalous. Mitchell, can we assume that everybody connected to Wall Street did worse last year?
No, not at all. Move down the street to hedge fund headquarters, it's an entirely different story. The magazine Absolute Return just ranked managers. The top 25 earners made $25 billion all told.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Mitchell, thank you.
You're welcome.
German and French banks are reacting today to proposed bank taxes. There are similar ideas here in the U.S. The Obama administration is looking to impose its own bank tax later this year. Christopher Wirth has our story.
In Germany, government officials want a levy to raise $1.5 billion to help bail out banks in coming years. But under a German plan, only banks would pay a tax. Today, the French finance minister says in that country, hedge funds should also be subject to a levy. Richard Portis is with the London Business School. He says France can go after hedge funds all at once. It won't make a difference.
Who cares whether the French tax hedge funds? No major hedge funds are based in France. The hedge funds are based in the UK and Switzerland and the United States. This is just not a serious point.
In the U.S., the tax would target banks with over $50 billion in assets to ensure that taxpayer money is paid back for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or the bailout known as TARP. But Portis says instead of bank levies, governments should cut big banks down to size and place tighter controls on the kind of risky behavior that lead to bailouts in the first place. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. Signs of growing economic strength in China, Japan, and across Europe helped Asian stocks zoom today more than 1%. European shares are up almost 1%. Oil rose above $84 a barrel overseas. Yesterday, the Dow lost 50 points to close at 10,856.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents, offering a choice of companies and coverage. You can find a local agent at 1-800-WE-INSURE. By Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at GoToMyPC.com/market. And by Vanguard. Reacting to the stock market is investing. Taking stock in long term is vanguarding. More about vanguarding at vanguard.com.
Before William Faulkner wrote The Sound and the Fury, he was a mailman. It didn't pay much, but he got to read the magazines he was delivering. The day jobs of famous authors is the subject of a piece in Lapham's Quarterly, a journal of history and ideas founded by longtime Harper's Magazine editor Lewis Lapham. Lewis, welcome to Marketplace.
Thank you, Bill.
And why are day jobs interesting to you?
They're interesting because it's very rare that people can support themselves simply on their writing. Faulkner, as you say, was a postmaster at the University of Mississippi. He was a terrible postmaster.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
He lost the mail. He spent the afternoons playing mahjong and sometimes going on a round of golf.
Charlotte Bronte worked for almost nothing, and apparently she didn't have time to write either.
No, she didn't. She was a governess, and she was being paid $1,800 a year.
That's today's equivalent money.
Yeah, that's today's equivalent. We're talking about the middle of the 19th century. And she had to pay extra to wash her clothes.
Do you think today's modern authors are more or less able to support themselves with their writing?
Well, very few. I mean, if you look at the record, I mean, most writers today have some kind of university affiliation or a foundation grant.
How is the recession affecting writers?
It might make them see more clearly what kind of society that they're living in. A lot of the writing in the United States for the last 20-odd years has been very self-absorbed, the memoir instead of the portrait of the society. It might encourage writers to engage more with the society as a whole. It might force them to look more carefully at other people.
Lewis Lapham is editor of Lapham's Quarterly. Lewis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
And finally, you could fly nonstop from New York to Paris on the first weekend in May for $1,100, or go from New York to Omaha for $1,400 to attend Berkshire Hathaway's annual shareholder meeting, the one Berkshire Chairman Warren Buffett calls Woodstock for capitalists. Bloomberg News says airlines have jacked up fares to Omaha that weekend because of the demand. One fund manager who attends every Berkshire meeting put it this way, quote, "Omaha is where all the action is. Why would you ever want to be in Paris on May 1st?
I love
Omaha.
Paris. Why do I love Paris?
Omaha.
Because my
Warren Buffett
is here.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
I love Paris every moment.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.